We're with Stephen Bassett, of course. He heads up the Paradigm Research Group, seeking and pushing for government disclosure about the extraterrestrial presence. And, of course, the big story, Hillary Clinton and a very small newspaper talked about disclosure and what she thinks. And you know what? You just never know. We're going to come back, chat more with Stephen, and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Steve Bassett with us, of course, from the Paradigm Research Group as we talk about disclosure, and we will take your calls this hour as well. This is exciting indeed. Stephen, in terms of the extraterrestrial presence, do you believe that it's ongoing? Did it stop? Where do you think we are with it today?
Oh, it's still ongoing. Yeah. The sightings have increased in the last couple of years. They're all over the world. So the activity is there. Crop circles are still being put down. And I'm in touch. You know, I talk with a lot of contactees, and I believe certainly there's some of that going on as well.
How long have you been interested in this subject matter?
Well, since I was a kid, I read science fiction a great deal. I loved it. And it was easier than reading Shakespeare.
It sure was.
And it's interesting, you know, George, when I was a kid, one of the classics I read was a book by Arthur C. Clarke called Childhood's End, which is about post-disclosure, right? It's about the post-disclosure world. It's about the post-contact world. Just recently, Sci-Fi did a six-hour mini-series on that. It's the first time that book had ever been filmed. And it was fascinating to watch it, and it took me back. Of course, it's not strictly on the book, but it's close. It took me back to when I was a kid. To me, that it was very exciting, and I've always had that interest, but I just didn't get involved in the issue directly until 1995.
95 is what?
Well, late 95, early 96.
What was the catalyst to get you involved?
Oh, the catalyst is I definitely needed to. I wanted to do something different. I also wanted to possibly, you know, get into a kind of activist thing.
Yes.
It's always been my nature, but I just never pursued my nature. But the biggest trigger for me was I read John Mack's book, Abduction.
Mm-hmm. That did
and,
it for me.
For me, that was a milestone book. I didn't know what was going on at the time. I didn't know about the Rockefeller Initiative. I didn't know about any of that. But that book told me that this business was about to head towards some kind of resolution. And I then did some further research. I went to a couple of conferences, and I said, this is a mature field now, but so if you're going to get in, now's the time to get in. Hey, if you're going to jump into a marathon, George, you want to jump in the last couple of miles, right? You don't run the whole damn thing.
Sneak in when you can, right?
I jumped in at that point. Then John Mack, and I went out and volunteered for John for 4 months. That was my introduction. It was terrible when he died.
Oh, my God.
A terrible blow. But he got me into it, and he got a lot of other people into it. And other individuals, top researchers have brought people in. It's the nature of things. So I made that decision. And I'll tell you, when I was driving across country to go to Cambridge, I had no idea what was going to happen, George. I had no idea. If you had said, oh, yeah, Steve, 20 years later, you're going to be in Washington and you're going to be on the edge of maybe actually having this thing finally happen, I would have said, I don't think so. But, you know, life is funny. You know, the most important thing is, George, you and I are still here.
That's right.
We have a number of colleagues that didn't make it.
That's true. In a number of different ways.
I know.
In a number of different ways.
I'm just happy to be still here, and I hope that both of us live a long time to see how this all works out and maybe play a role in shaping the new, quote, paradigm.
As Spock would say, live long and prosper, right?
Yeah, that too.
When you ran for Congress from the state of Maryland, and you use the platform of UFOs and ET disclosure, do you think that helped you or hurt you?
No, it was fine. I did about 10 debates, and I talked about the issue. The other candidates, which was Chris Van Hollen and Connie Morella. By the way, Chris Van Hollen won, and he's gone on to become a very big person in the Democratic Party, potentially a national candidate. Pretty nice guy, wonderful guy, nice family. They answered questions about it, got some press coverage. So it was fine. Could like to have done more, but I think I spent all of $8,000. But then Joe Bookman.
Well, that's about four more than Trump has spent so far.
What now?
That's about 4,000 more than Trump has spent so far.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun to be a pioneer. I was the first balloted congressional candidate ever to speak to this issue. President Carter was the first balloted federal candidate, because it was presidency, not Congress. Joe Bookman was the second balloted candidate for Congress to speak to this issue and actually be on the ballot in November. And who knows, we may see some more candidates doing it this year, particularly given what Secretary Clinton has done. I mean, we are in a new place right now. So the next 30 days will probably tell us whether this thing is really going to wrap up in 2016. So I'm looking forward to that.
You know, I'm amazed, Stephen, that astronaut Edgar Mitchell and Paul Hellyer, the former defense minister of Canada, two huge figures in the field of ufology, other than programs like ours and in some other shows that are out there, you would think that these two gentlemen alone, the major media would look at them and go, oh, my God, you've got an astronaut who walked on the moon who says the ET presence is real. You've got a defense minister from Canada saying the ET presence is real. And they're not going for it yet. How come?
Well, you know, if it was any other issue of importance, but not the ET issue, they probably would have gotten more attention.
That's right.
But remember, They're doing this. Basically, they're witnesses. Whether you're talking about Paul Hellyer or whether you're talking about Robert Salas or Edgar Mitchell, they're witnesses. And they have some rank and station, and they did get some coverage. They've done media. They've gotten some coverage. But it didn't go beyond that, meaning, again, the truth embargo, the key to the truth embargo is the media will write up stuff. They will not investigate. They will not go in investigatory mode. That's where they draw the line. And that helps to keep things nicely contained. And so, yes, they have written up comments by all of these people, but that's it. What is different now, you see, is that Secretary Clinton isn't just a person of rank and station. She's running to be president. She has been under a 8-month media scrutiny, and she's got 11 months to go, and she can't dodge it.
She can't.
More importantly, she's actually connected to the issue through her husband, who was the president. And so we're a couple of levels above even the good Dr. Mitchell and Honorable Paul Hellyer. And we're at the level where if this thing just goes a little bit further, the media is going to go bam. And once they go into investigatory mode and start firing those questions off, fully expecting an answer, the truth embargo, which is pretty shaky, will collapse pretty quickly.
Good. Salt Lake City, Utah. Jim, west of the Rockies, you're up with Stephen Bassett. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning.
What about the consideration for various contracts and handshakes with ETs and their tribes and so forth, if they would agree to a disclosure?
Well, I certainly haven't had that proven to me that there are any such arrangements or contracts. These are speculations, and they're out there, and that's fine. They haven't proven to me, so I don't know. As far as I know, there isn't any. As far as the extraterrestrials and their position with respect to this process, only they know. And the ETs aren't talking. However, if you look at the way they conduct themselves, I mean, sightings every day around the world and other things, they certainly aren't impeding it, in my view. If anything, they're helping it along by helping to raise awareness. So if I have to guess, I would say the ETs are in favor of disclosure, but they're waiting for us to actually do it. That's called the self-disclosure option. And then what happens after that is intriguing. But logically, after self-disclosure would come open contact, when that would be, you know, even more intriguing for all of us.
Indeed. David is in Garrett, Indiana. Welcome to the program. David, go ahead.
Hello, George. And hi. Stephen.
Hi.
My question is, and I'll take it off the air as soon as possible, even though you say Hillary said that she would do the disclosure thing about all this, I don't really agree with you, because I think it's all just a ploy for her to get more votes to become president. And to me, I think, how can we trust her anyway to say that she's going to do this? And then if she does become president, she won't even do it anyway, just so she can become president.
What you're saying is that she's just doing this just for publicity and to get those votes.
Correct. She's basically just doing the same thing what all the Republicans are doing right now, especially Trump. Just whatever thing, anything that he says is just for publicity. And I think she thinks that she needs to do this so she can get some of that also besides for free. I mean, basically, it's free publicity.
Sure.
And
sure.
Any money that they don't have to spend, and because this is worldwide, let alone in the United States, that if she says we're going to disclose all this information, how do we know that we can trust her? That's
sure.
My question.
This is a misunderstanding that I want to clear up as often as I can. What's important about what just happened in New Hampshire is not that Secretary Clinton said that she would disclose or get to the bottom of the issue or set up a task force for Area 51 if she becomes president. That's not what's important. First of all, that's 11 months from now, right? And I have no desire to wait that long. Secondly, she could very well enter the White House and change her mind. Thirdly, she might not even make it to the White House. What's important is that she has brought the issue into play now, and as a result, is set up for substantial more media engagement, which may trigger a media storm that will end the truth embargo. This is all about President Obama being the disclosure president, not Secretary Clinton. I'm not in the business of supporting candidates, and PRG is not doing this to see Hillary Clinton or Secretary Clinton as president.
Right, you're not endorsing
to be president. Well, we want disclosure, and we want it now. Like next month would be very nice, thank you. And, of course, that would then have to come from President Obama.
Stephen, tell me a little bit about John Podesta that some time ago he said one of the disappointments for him when he was with the administrations was he was unable to get the information he needed. That's pretty dramatic.
That was a significant thing, too. The Congressional Hearing Political Initiative got launched on November the 4th. I arrived on November the 20th, started making calls to Congress, and we were approaching the media and so forth. And I'm sure that, everything that I'm doing is being watched carefully by the Clinton people. And we were making progress was being made. We had a number of articles in the Washington Times in November, and then the Daily Mirror in January, and so forth and so forth. So, interestingly enough, his response to this was to put out a tweet, a very important one, and that came out on February the 13th, 2015. And again, some people that don't know the full background of all this and backstories, I can understand why they may just reflexively assume, oh, it's a joke, right? But people have to understand it isn't a joke. Even if it's said with a smile on the face, it isn't a joke. And so this tweet is extremely important because John Podesta had just finished a 11-month stint as a White House advisor. He was brought back into the White House by Barack Obama, by President Obama, where they could discuss and in perfect privacy without worrying about the press anything they wanted. So he spent 11 months there. It was never clear what he was doing. Right? It was never really clear at all. It was sort of like there he was. He was just brought inside, I guess you could say. And he had to give up his CEO job at the Center for American Progress, which is the think tank that he founded. And so in the day he leaves that job, the last tweet on his White House account, and it's already known he's heading straight over to become the chairman of the campaign of the leading candidate to be the next president, he puts out a tweet and says, finally, my biggest failure of 2014, once again, not securing the hashtag disclosure of the UFO files. Hashtag the truth is still out there. CC Marine Doubt. This is a huge deal for those in the know. And he fully knew when he put that tweet out, I was going to run with it. And he also knew it was going to be a lot of press coverage. And
There was a lot of articles. Yep.
And so what he just did in that tweet, in the Lenham Dunham tweet, which he does in September. He, in my view, he's telling the media, look, if you want to ask her, go ahead and ask her. In this tweet, back in February 13th, 2015, he's reminding people in the know that, yeah, remember I called for the UFO files to be released in 2002, 2003, remember that? And I wrote a foreword to Leslie Kane's book on the subject. I was in the documentary on the subject.
Good point.
Still here, still looking, and he's implying that he may have tried to do something but couldn't do it. Why not? Why was he blocked? Was he stonewalled? Right? He uses the hashtag disclosure, which is the hashtag used by PRG's Twitter team that put out nearly 2 million messages to, you know, targets all over the place, to the Congress and the media, all hashtag disclosure. He uses that, right? And then he copies Marine down, which is interesting. So this is a significant moment, that tweet. So when you put all of this together, you are seeing the team around the leading candidate to be president dancing with this issue, working with it, advancing it carefully. They realize how difficult this is, putting up trial balloons, see where it goes. There is a logic to all of this, and ultimately it leads either to the press going, "Ah, we're not interested," or the press going, "Okay, let's party," in which case, of course, things will advance very quickly, and disclosure will take place.
Amazing stuff. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Jan in Brooklyn, New York. Go ahead, Jan.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Jan.
I heard, there's supposed to be over 50 different types of aliens that come around us to Earth. Now, I heard the secret government is in contact with a couple of them, and they get our technology, we get their technology like fiber optics, and we allow them to abduct people and get their sperm and eggs and hybrid stuff. Now, why would these kind of aliens want it to be known with the secret societies?
That's always been a possibility. I think that's one of the theories of David Jacobs, Stephen.
There are countless theories out there. They all can't be right. I don't know how many. I'm sure there are countless ET civilizations in the galaxy. How many are visiting us? Don't know. 4 or 5 for sure. Whether they have arrangements with the government, don't know. So it's hard to speak to that. Again, this is why we need disclosure.
Yep.
Because only after disclosure are we going to be able to start sorting the wheat from the chaff.
The revved up Kepler telescope just found 100 more exoplanets. I mean, yeah. They're out there everywhere.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
We're going to come back in just a moment with Stephen Bassett. We're going to take final phone calls with him. I'll also tell you a little bit of what's in store on our next Coast to Coast program. And just always, just keep your radio dial set right to your favorite station so you don't miss any of the programs. And don't forget also to be a Coast Insider, because that's a great way to podcast the program as well. So we'll be back in a moment with Stephen and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. All right, we've got a great split show for you on our Thursday night Coast to Coast program. Stuart Swerdlow joins us as we talk about his work as a clairvoyant. And then our dear friend Art Rosengarten joins us talking about the tarot and psychology. All of that exciting here on Coast to Coast AM. We're coming back in a moment with final calls with Stephen Bassett as we talk about disclosure right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Stephen Bassett with us, your final phone calls as well. And Stephen, after the event that's coming up in a week and a half, what's next for you?
Well, I'll be attending, and then I'm going to head right back to D.C. I've got to set up some more meetings on the Hill to talk about the hearings. But also, I'm anticipating, and this is a significant thing if we can get there, that perhaps the NBC, ABC, and the networks, the cable networks, may be toying with the idea of bringing me on.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I can get on television, start talking about this directly. That will take it to another level. We're close to that. So I'll be coming back and hoping to see some of that take place.
That would be perfect. Were you surprised with Hillary's statement about the possibilities of ETs?
Well, you know, that's what I've been shooting for all along, was to get them to break their silence. But when it happened, yeah, I was surprised. I was at my sister's, you know, for the holidays and just kind of chilling out, and I got a thing on the Facebook, and realized that she'd given this interview.
That was
and
great.
And I read it, and I went, this is it.
Do you think that Podesta or she has seen your disclosure video?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you mean the,
conference?
You mean the citizen hearing on disclosure?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got to think that he has certainly looked at some of it. Whether she's looked at it, I don't know. They're certainly aware of it.
All right, let's go to Joe in the Bronx now. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to ask Stephen, now, what effect or impact do you believe, do you honestly believe, that disclosure will have on the general population, and will there be facts about Area 51 revealed soon after disclosure?
I think the public is more than ready for this. I think they're going to handle it very, very well. In fact, given the kind of stuff we're having to deal with now, I mean, you get up every day and there's something grotesque every single day in the news. When I got up this morning, what was it? North Korea may have set off a hydrogen bomb. Oh, okay. Go back to sleep. So the idea of something like this, something extraordinary like this, people are going to handle it very well. So I'm not worried about that. In terms of what we learn and when, well, that's going to be a process that will go on. 4 weeks and months, maybe even years, after disclosure. And how much we learn and how soon is going to be to some degree up to the people and up to the media. Fortunately, the media will jump over to our side. I don't think we'll have any trouble with that. There's no incentive at all post-disclosure for the media to continue to play games. So there will be a lot of pressure on the government. There will be a lot of concerns about some things being still classified. But we will learn a great deal. But what we learn and when, I can't predict. We will know a lot more, and we will have a stronger sense of the history of this within, I think, a few months after disclosure. And that's going to be wonderful. And then we'll continue to hopefully get information from the government, particularly as the trust starts to return between government and the people. Because right now, neither trust
is. It's gone. It's gone.
And so until we get that trust up, it's going to be slow going.
Stephen, at what point, what do you think the involvement is with government entities? Is it one of hand's length that we spot them, or is there, you know, this discussion, as one of the callers had brought up some time ago, there's this interaction between them?
Until I get evidence, until I see something convincing, I'm operating on the assumption that there is no collaboration at all.
No cooperation, contact.
Now, could an ET, the evidence seems to be we've had ETs in our possession, even live ones from crash vehicles, but that's not exactly collaboration, is it? So until I get the evidence, no collaboration.
Next up, we go to Eddie in New York City. Hello, Eddie.
Hi, George. I want to congratulate you on your anniversary with Coast to Coast.
Oh, thank you.
You did such a great job. And you certainly deserve all the accolades.
I appreciate that. It's very kind.
And, Stephen, I like your idea of disclosure. However, I think that the people involved with the disclosure itself, and they've been holding it back, by the way, for like somewhat 80 years or so, these people are very powerful. All right. Now, did you hear Barack Obama talk with Jimmy Kimmel on that interview where Jimmy Kimmel said if he were president, he would go to Area 51 and blow the whole deal out and tell everybody what was going on? And Barack Obama said to him live on national television, live he said this, hey, Jimmy, you're never going to be president. He kept saying this over and over to him.
Yeah.
In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, Steve, you're dreaming. The people that are involved with keeping this, and I mean the 1% of the industrialists, the Rockefeller Foundation, all of these people that have been the big money, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they've been keeping this under wraps for a long time. And, if you think they're going to, the secret space program alone, do you think that they're going to tell the public and the world that, hey, we've been sending 10 Lizzies up to the moon and space, and all the while we've had anti-gravity technology and we have a space fleet going through our solar system? Do you think that they're going to do this? I don't think so. because that means they're going to have to tell about all the lies that they told in the history books, in our history books, and God knows the repercussions of this are just too outstandingly terrible. I mean it just
they are
everything is going to have to be changed.
All right, let's get Stephen's reaction to this, Eddie. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I have, as it happens, I possess one of the most important traits that any activist can have, and that is I'm just too dumb to know it can't be done. And so I'm just going to go and do it.
That's right. You don't give up. You're a bulldog. You're like Alex Jones. And you keep doing
that simple. So we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, Eddie's got a lot of good points there.
Sure.
I mean,
well, it's taken 20 years, George.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, picked on 20 years.
And you and I have talked about disclosure. You know, we've talked over the years that, you know, I'm not sure government will release it. It'll come out a different way.
Yeah.
Now, that brings up an interesting question on the Hillary Clinton situation. What if she finds out about this and goes public with it, not from some governmental source, but some other people? Is that possible?
No. There's a way to do this. And do it appropriately. The president telling the people is the absolute appropriate way.
It's got to be done methodical, too.
But she clearly is in a position. She has an historical opportunity here. It's extraordinary. To basically end the truth embargo by taking a bit of a political risk and telling some, you know, answering some questions, which they seem to be inviting now, truthfully.
And
if she does that, she's going to change history. She won't be the disclosure president, but I'll tell you, she'll still get one significant legacy.
Okay, so you still think Barack Obama is going to beat her to the punch?
It's not that he's racing. I'm simply saying that the process is moving along so quickly that there's no way that they can, how would you say, finesse this for 11 more months. You know, it's just not going to happen, and so it's going to come out, and if it does, then obviously, you know, whoever's president, and that happens to be Barack Obama. By the way, one of the things that the White House and the Pentagon needs to really worry about is as this press coverage escalates, you know, and you've seen what we just happened, hundreds of articles about this, you've got two major leaders. You know, you've got one over in the Kremlin, Putin, and you've got another over in Beijing, you know, Xi Jinping. And as they see this unfolding and realize that where it's going, they may just decide to, okay, Time to step in.
Well, you think they've got to be aware of this, too.
Of course they are.
Why have they been so silent?
They have their own reasons. But just like we have. But as we move along, if they, you know, if the Pentagon and the White House drag their feet on this, Putin could step in and say, okay, fine, I'll do it, and go first. And that's not a good thing for the U.S. They don't want that. So I just want to, I'm always reminding them of that. And so as things move along here, be assured. You know, this Clinton story has gone all over the world, right? You don't think the Kremlin doesn't know about it? You don't think Beijing doesn't know about it? Of course they do.
Of course.
So they're watching this very carefully. Now, maybe they'll say, fine, we want the president. We want the U.S. to lead on this. Fine, whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying that the Pentagon needs to be aware of that as a very realistic real possibility.
They're probably listening to this program right now.
I'm sure they are.
You know what? Hi, Vlad. Tim in Kentucky, truck driving there. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Wonderful show. Hi, Mr. Bassett. Long-time listener.
Thank you.
Caller. George, we just love your show out here. You keep us truckers going. And just some quick comments. You know, so many people have been hammering on this for so long. I it's hard to believe that there's many people that aren't informed that something's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
The whole problem the government has is how to spin this. I mean, let's face it, there probably should be some tribunals. I mean, because there's been a lot of pain and suffering going on in the worldwide that was needless, you know, for a long time. So it's more who's going to control the information, how they're going to spin it to keep the global elites behind, covered. That's I think is the main problem, and we're still going to have the problem of how to discern the real truth. You know, how did they really, you know, what did they know? When did they know it? And why weren't we told? I mean, we've been lied to for so long about so many things, you know, from JFK on. I mean, God, you can fix so many things, you know. So that's their main problem, how to control the truth, how to spin it, you know, to protect their behinds, quite frankly.
Well, if I'm advising them, I'd say don't spin it. You know, you're going to be telling the most important, profound truth in history to 7 billion people, and about half of that 7 billion people have all got computers and access to the Internet. So this would be a really bad time to try to spin something like that.
Can you imagine Twitter, the moment they announced this? Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, a whole lot of servers are going to shut down after that. But, you know, we've never been in a better position as a society to scrutinize and maneuver at this level by government. So we are fortunate in that regard. And let me tell you, you know, if we were to use our power that the Internet has given us more frequently, we might have challenged the government on a lot of other things. But it's still happening. There is a revolution underway simultaneous with all this that's changing the world. And the two are kind of working with each other. But the Internet is not a guarantee of truth.
Quickly get me the
name. Go ahead.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If Hillary doesn't get elected and Barack Obama doesn't announce it, is it dead? Is it over?
Not over.
Get me the name.
I'm going to be, if I can get the funding to keep in D.C., I will pursue this all year, obviously. Election's not till November. If Clinton wins the election, then we're in a really good position because she will have made a lot of statements and we're going to be able to put a lot of pressure on the administration early on. And it's really an unprecedented situation, frankly, far, far more intense than Carter's situation in 76. If she loses the election, I will have to say that I'm going to be kind of scratching my head.
Yeah. That may set this back. It could.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. So I don't want to think about that. We're just going to get disclosure done this year.
Let's go to Colorado Springs, Colorado. First-time caller, Jeff's with us. Jeff, good to have you with us.
Good morning, gentlemen. Long-time listener. The point I'm going to make, there's been proof in all these ancient civilizations that we've been visited for thousands of years from ETs and stuff like that. And we have, and everybody knows about Roswell. And so my question is that we've had this technology, been aware of this technology. Why hasn't it been forwarded to NASA? And instead of using these rudimentary and primitive ways of exploring space, you know, the moon and rockets and stuff like that, why haven't we been able to tap into the technology and avoid the horrible accidents like Challenger and the other space shuttle coming back in? Why are we using, you know, like Model A's when we have Lamborghinis as far as ways of getting out into space? Why hasn't that been utilized?
Sure. Well, and that's another one of their PR problems. They got many. They got a lot of them. But here's what I believe is the case. You know, there is a public space program that operates with standard technology, and then there is a hidden space program that uses the good stuff. And the reason it's hidden is that because if we were aware of the good stuff, that would probably bust the truth embargo open. So the truth, that is one of countless things that had to be done in order to service that embargo. So NASA has been caught in the middle on this and has really been one of the great victims of this. But be assured, if they've got the technology I think they have, they're using it. They're just not doing it publicly.
Let's get one more call in at least. Jordan is in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Jordan. Go ahead.
Thanks. Just a quick thing. Not necessarily have a question, but my uncle was a longtime worker at Area 51. And
really?
Because of health reasons, he no longer works at Area 51. But he's very open to the public about ETs. And for 15 years, he worked on the aircraft of ETs.
So he fully admits they're there, huh?
Can you give his name on the radio?
I don't want to.
Okay. one of the workers that filed the lawsuit over environmental contamination?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
But well,
have talked about Area 51 that have worked there mostly anonymously.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. And so you've gotten some inside info there. Post-disclosure, you're going to have a lot of people coming forward and talking about the good old days at Area 51 and Wright-Patterson and Lord knows what else. I hope your uncle's still alive and gets to see all that.
No, for health reasons, he's close to, he has cancer, so he's been very open to the public about this.
Tell him to hang in if he can, because I'm sure he'll be pleased if disclosure takes
place. We're going to need him. Stephen, we're almost out of time. I look forward to seeing you in a week and a half. It's always great sitting down with you.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it, and look forward to talk to some people there at San Rafael. Your show has played a very important role in all those stores. You know that, so we shoulder on.
You be safe traveling out there, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Stephen Bassett, who has worked diligently to try to get disclosure, and he just won't give up. Also, his book is called U.S. Presidents and UFOs, The Untold Story. Just fascinating. Well, stick with us. We've got a great set of programs for you all week long, and we'll fill you in on what's in store again for the Friday show tomorrow. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.